If you're part of the church family, I'm sure you've heard this. I want you to hear it again because it's important stuff. And if you're visiting with us, you know, maybe one of those people who are saying, yeah, I'd like to check out this church to see what they're all about. Perfect Sunday to come. We're going to talk to you today all about what we're all about. Now, to start us off, at Five Corners, we like to break into small groups of 6 to 8 people and circle our chairs, disconnect them, because I find when I come to church, I would like to know the people that I'm with. Like, I might have said hello kind of quietly during the song part of the service, but I really don't know a lot of times who I'm sitting beside or around. So in a few minutes, we're going to break our chairs up, we're going to circle up, and we'll just introduce ourselves to each other, and I'll throw a question up on the screen, and we're going to talk about that question. It's an introduction to what we're learning about today. So go for it, Hannah, throw it up on the screen. Today's question is, what's the biggest living thing that you have ever seen? Who knows? Who knows? So go for it right now. Break into your groups of 6 to 8 and introduce yourselves and talk about this. Well, if I could get your attention back at the front, I know you just met these people, but they're awesome, and you want to visit with them lots. You'll get lots of time after church. We got coffee even at the back. I don't plan on going home till like 1:30, 2 o'clock. You could visit then. It would be great to know you more than just the five-minute conversations we get in the middle of church. Now, as we move on, I want you to consider the value of relationships in your life. Like, for me, I've got some friends that have really helped me through some difficult situations. Just a couple weeks ago, I had a friend that he was going through a tough circumstance, something difficult. And when we talk to each other, we know that we can drop our guard and we don't have to have an excuse why things are such a big deal or not such a big deal. And we can just call each other with our struggles in life. We don't shame each other or try to figure things out. We just pray for each other, and we are who we are. We have peace in our lives just by picking up the phone and hearing each other's voice. How many of you got a friend like that? You got one. Maybe it's a brother or a parent or one of your kids. For me, when we gather at church, our family here is about that type of connection. It doesn't happen quickly, so I understand if we're not all there yet. And it doesn't happen all the time, but it's a commitment in my life. When we gather as the family of God, God has called us to be that kind of friends, that kind of family. This concept of connection, not just in a little way, but also deep, deep underneath the surface. Our discussion question asks us to picture the largest things that have ever lived on our planet. So maybe you've, you know, been to the museum and seen the skeletons of the giant dinosaurs. Sorry, guys, they're not alive, but they are big. Maybe towering wet redwood trees, or maybe you've had a chance to see something incredible like a blue whale. But none of these can claim the record for the biggest living thing that is out there. The largest species on Earth is actually some trees. It's a grove of aspens. And they're famous for their beauty of their fall leaves and that sound that they make when the leaves blow in the wind, when millions of them around you shake. These trees here, they're from a grove in Utah, actually. It's the largest grove of trees in the world. Their bark is famous, too. It's white, and it's because it's a living tissue that's capable of photosynthesis, even during the winter. Even when the tree has lost all of its leaves, it can continue to grow. Aspens have a ton of records among trees. They're the most widely distributed tree in North America, and they grow just about everywhere, from Canada all the way down to Mexico, and from the Atlantic to the Pacific. And it's pretty unbelievable, but members of the species are the largest organism on Earth. Even though aspens, they're just average-looking trees. They're not super tall. They don't have particularly thick trunks. They're not like a sequoia or a redwood where you can't hug it because it's so big. But so how can an aspen be the largest species on Earth? Well, it's because of what you can't see. See, groups of aspens are connected underground by a shared root system. That root system can even exchange water and nutrients among the individual trunks connected underground. They are actually all clones of one same tree. It's like different limbs on the same body. Each trunk you can see has a genetically identical clone of all of the other trees around it. They're individuals on the surface when their trunks pop up, but they are one giant connected system underneath. When a forest fire comes, the trees live through the harsh circumstances because the trunk might get burned and damaged, but the part that the deep-rooted part survives, sending new shoots back up towards the sun. And the reality is this forest system of aspens survives because their roots are interconnected, intertwined. And that's a great metaphor for what we're doing here, what it's like to have faith in Jesus and with others. Underneath the surface, our relationships become like those roots that are interconnected and keep us strong through the test of time. So today I want you to consider something. Perhaps God would have you develop this old growth, deep connected root system, that faith in your story. Having regular interconnected relationships, friendships that hold your life together. That is what's possible, and that's what we want to foster here in our church family at Five Corners. A place where you can have a lifetime of faith connected with other believers. But in order to get to that point where these root systems are interconnected, especially in relationships that are a matter of faith, we have to consider that there are some real obstacles. This is not just, hey, I chose it today and now it's going to happen. We have to work hard at this. There's busyness in life and noise all around us, expectations, running from thing to thing, and that little thing called a cell phone that we carry in our pocket. Like, it's probably in your pocket or your purse, constantly calling out with distractions and notifications, expecting us to drop whatever it is that we're doing and go and do something else. All of these things, they get in the way of true and meaningful relationships sometimes. But I want you to know that faith is possible in the middle of those chaos moments of modern society, in the middle of the stage that you are in. Perhaps you have little kids or a busy life schedule, or it seems like things are overwhelming. Maybe you're an introvert and you don't know how to connect with other people. It seems so hard, all of those obstacles. Well, they're talked about in the Bible. I want to read to you a passage that I often read here, but it's so important to who we are. It's from Acts chapter 2. It's a snippet of what the early church looked like. New believers are taught that our mission is to go out into the world and make disciples. Jesus gave that mission to his disciples before he left, and it's still there for us today. But he cautioned them, and he asked them to wait because they couldn't do it on our own. Go and make disciples, but you can't do it on your own. And I think that commission, especially in the church, happens a little bit like it did in the book of Acts, where a group of Jesus followers got together and the Holy Spirit imparted in them who he created them to be. And he sent them forward with power behind their mission plan to go out into all the world and make disciples. So our mission here at Five Corners Church, what we are called to do, is not that different from the early disciples. We're called to go and make disciples, but that's the general calling for every Christian. We have a specific calling, and today I want to share with you our distinctive. God is calling us at Five Corners to develop leaders, and out of that overflow, to go and reach families in our community with elementary-aged kids. We're going to make disciples through that mission here at Five Corners. Let's read from Acts 2. I want to read from verse 42 and following. Here's what it says. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions, and they shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and they shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Wow. Now, I don't know about you, but as I ask around and I read in books and I talk to people, I've found out that there are typically four reasons why people come to church. They come because they like the place. It's probably close to their home. They come because they like the people. I have some friends there. Maybe I have some family. Maybe you come to church because of the programming. This church doesn't have bad music, and I'm going to that church because I love the music there. Or maybe you come to church because of the personality. There's a great worship leader or a great speaker or something like that. You come to church because of its place, its people, its programming, or someone's personality. But we want our relationships here to go deeper than that. We want our church to draw people into the upper room, just like in Acts chapter 2, where the 120 waited for the Holy Spirit and the church was born. Because it's easy to be in the crowd watching the miracles that Jesus performs, but my heart is also to move past that spectating, wondering what God is going to do, and instead move into that participating, just like the 12 disciples waiting on God to empower them to go out. So today I want to invite you. Maybe you're new. Maybe you've been here a long time and you're on the outside. Maybe you are in the inside and you're bringing as many as you can. But today I want to invite you to our upper room as we talk about who God created us to be here at Five Corners. Think of vision like looking through a window. I've used this illustration before, but imagine we're building a house. And in that house, we've got a beautiful view of the lake. But we need a window to see what is there, that the beautiful future that God is revealing to us. We live in Salmon Arm, and many of us get this gorgeous view. But if we're sitting in the upper room, it wouldn't be wise to just cut a hole in the side of the house, because it's not structurally sound. It wouldn't weather the storms. We want to see the scenery, but we have to frame it out to make it strong. So let's dive into the journey together of building this frame to see the vision of God leading us to make disciples. Vision starts with a dream. And if you remember where we started today, that example of old growth forest, relationships that last a lifetime. But to understand that dream, we need to know who we are, who God designed us to be. So if we picture our window frame that we're building, on the right-hand side of our window frame, we have our mission. This is the stuff that God has called us to do and be, our mission. It's like that king stud that holds up the roof of our building, holds up our family. Here it is. If you want to flip onto the back of your bulletins, I have it printed out there in one of the rectangles. It says, "Empowered by the Holy Spirit, together we lead people to grow in God's family." That's the king stud of our church. That's the mission that God has called us to be on. That's what we are asking every one of the people here to participate in. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, together we lead people to grow in God's family. If our mission is to make disciples, leading others close to Jesus, this is how we're going to do that. If someone, maybe you, were to come to our church for the first time, whether you're new to the community or you're someone who has never met Jesus and is curious about the family of God and what they look like, when those people come to our gatherings, I want them to know what we do. So in your bulletin, everyone's been given one. I want you to flip it over and read the backside. There's that short sentence describing how we make disciples at Five Corners. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, together we lead people to grow in God's family. I want to break it apart a little bit because a big sentence like that has lots of things in it, and we're very specific about how we talk about it. First, right off the top, it says, empowered by the Holy Spirit. We want to be empowered by the Spirit of God. In everything that we do, we want to be full of the Spirit. Paul wrote in Ephesians 3:16, it says, I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. That's my prayer for every one of you, for everyone here, to be that kind of empowered with those unlimited resources, his glorious, unlimited resources. We know we're not on this journey of faith on our own, stumbling in the dark. But often we find ourselves striving, doing the best that we can. But it's like a three-year-old kid trying to pour milk out of the full jug when they're not strong enough, not big enough to carry it. We're saying this to God, God, I can do this, I can do this. But if we allow him to direct us, then as we grow into maturity, we won't be that teenager that gets into trouble because we're still doing it all on our own. Instead, we're looking to the Father for wisdom, for counsel, for direction. He knows the future. What better place to receive it from? It even goes further than that. Philippians 4:12 says, I have learned the secret of living in every situation. This is Paul talking about the maturity that God has given him. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it's a full stomach or an empty stomach, with plenty, with little. For I can do everything through Christ, who gives me strength. You see, God doesn't just give advice and direction. The Holy Spirit also gives us power. It's not our strength, but instead through the overflow of the Spirit that people will know who God is. That same overflow that will lead them into this family of God, to be part of our family. The second part of that sentence, if you read it on the bulletin, it says together, empowered by the Holy Spirit, together. And I think this is critically important, especially in this season. Over the last year, I have learned that you can't follow God on your own. If you're separated from the family of God, you will drift off course. And I know many people who looked like strong believers, but after the year of isolating, and then we're all coming back together as church families, and some of them are missing, we can see that they're struggling. They're having difficulty believing in God's promises. They have difficulty trusting him. And I've seen the opposite. Those that pressed in, those that made the effort to live through the season together, they've become stronger in their faith. Heather taught me this example. The word comfort in the English language, it's recently changed in this meeting. Because comfort, it didn't always mean that absence of pain or difficulty. That's not what comfort's about. Instead, it's a compound word. The first part, come, as in comrade or community, it means together. So comfort, it means together. And the second part, comfort, it's like a fortress. It means strength. So when we look to each other for comfort, we receive that from being together strong. We are strengthened by being together. And when the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit being the comforter, this is what Jesus meant. Not that you will not have problems. God's not here to take away our problems like we punch the number in the vending machine and it comes out all wonderful. But instead, God is here to come with us and be our fortress. That the Holy Spirit would be with us and be our strength. He will help us in life, and together, now that we're empowered by him, we will go out and we'll change the world. We will impact this community. We'll spread the gospel, telling others about the saving grace of Jesus Christ through that power from the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 1:3. I know I'm spouting off a lot of verses, but it's because the Bible talks about this stuff so much. 2 Corinthians 1:3 says that God is our merciful Father, and he's the source of all comfort. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort that God gives us. You can't do this alone. We need each other. And not just in the difficult times. Because I stood there this morning and I talked to Lloyd and I said, Lloyd, you have to make a commitment to come, to participate in church, because life is difficult in this family. But those relationships also need to be built in the good times so that they're strong enough to stand in the struggling times. And as a family, yes, we'll grieve together, but we're also going to grow together. We'll work together. We'll celebrate together. We'll pray together. We'll intercede. And no matter what, we're in this together. And as we become more and more like Christ, there will be nothing that can separate us from that kind of love. Well, back to our sentence. The third part, it says, we will lead people. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, together, I guess it's this way. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, together we will lead people. I love that passage in Ephesians that Paul wrote. It's about God's mysterious plan. This is God's plan. We who believe the good news share the richest inheritance by God's children. We're part of the body and we enjoy this promise of blessing because we belong to Christ Jesus. But God's blessings are never so that we can keep them for ourselves. God blesses us so that we can go and bless others. And the more we give away, the more we keep being generous, then the more that God will keep giving us to give away again. So Paul didn't just stop there, he kept writing. By God's grace and mercy and power, we've been given the privilege of serving him by spreading this good news. See, our mission is to go and make disciples. And here in God's family at Five Corners, we will lead people. We will lead them into this presence where they can become part of the mission to, in turn, lead others. I don't know if you noticed, but especially this morning, our youth are very involved in the production value of Sunday morning service. It takes a lot of people to do what we do on a Sunday morning. And our teenagers get to be part of that. Right? Anna was up here playing the guitar. Josiah was still at the back running the soundboard. Often the four boys are here. And we had Caitlin on the drums and Ella on the piano. Like this is our teenagers participating in what God's doing. And sometimes if we watch, the lyrics are late and the sound is too loud. And the guitar is a little bit off, but that's totally okay because they're learning. And this is a place where as we train new leaders, they have room to make mistakes. They have room to become better leaders. And here at Five Corners, we allow our kids to be kids. We want them to be exactly who God created them to be. Not what we want them to be. Maybe not even what they want to be, but who God created them to be. But as much as we let them run around and have fun and go a little bit crazy sometimes, we also expect them to learn. And you can see that fruit up here on the stage. As the kids dance in worship on the side, they're also leading others, teaching the younger ones actions, showing them what unhindered worship looks like. So, you, mom and dad, grandma and grandpa, aunt and uncle, you sitting here, are you leading the same way our kids are leading? Are you growing the same way our kids are growing? Because it's easy for us to say, oh, you're a teenager, go up there. As an adult, I don't know. I don't have that skill set. That's kind of embarrassing if I mess up and do it wrong. Teenagers go for it. I mean, that's their life. But adults, I like to show that I'm accomplished. Have you ever led someone to a right relationship with Christ? Have you ever moved that conversation from small talk into what really matters? Telling them their need for Jesus and how we can save them? Sometimes it easily flows. But more often than not, it's nerve-wracking. It's intimidating. Often it's not easy. It can be more work than just doing it by ourselves. Right? Leading others to do that is more work than us just doing that. Especially if we're leading people who don't want to follow. It's intimidating. We'll face opposition. There'll be difficult moments. And if we're truly being obedient, there will even be persecution. Remember, we're empowered by the Holy Spirit. We will do this together. And as we lead people, we will grow. And I don't know about you, and it's hard to hear, but I find that the most growth in my life comes from responding to God in obedience. When I don't want to do it, and I haven't wanted to do it for a long time, and God makes me do it, that's when I grow. I want to read to you 2 Peter 1, verse 5 and on. In view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance. And patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. Do you see the journey? The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their old sins. Verse 10. So, dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you are really among those God has called and chosen. Do these things and you will never fall away. Then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is the growth we want to see here in our family. This is what we want to give opportunity for. If you're visiting at Five Corners or you've been here a long time, we want to see both you and your children in your faith, in the closeness of your relationship with Christ, and in your fruitfulness, sharing what Christ has done. I look around and I see broken relationships all over our community. It's all around us. The world needs reconciliation with God. Our community is full of broken marriages and estranged families, and many are on their second or third blended relationships. And sometimes they don't even bother to get married because what's the point? They don't know what real family looks like and feels like. But God has something better in store. God is in the business of transformation and reconciliation. So church, this is our mission. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, together we lead people to grow in God's family. That's what God has called us to do and be. And I know we'll make mistakes, especially when we put new leaders into leadership positions. And I know we'll have to say, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know what I was doing. Or I'm sorry, I was completely wrong. And the rest of us get to say, that's okay. God's given me the ability to forgive you because he forgave me. And together we will grow in this. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, together we lead people to grow in God's family. We will get to practice here and then show the world what real family looks like. Ephesians 2:20. Together we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And the cornerstone is Jesus Christ himself. We are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through him, you Gentiles are also being made part of this dwelling where God lives by his Spirit. What a great verse for us. Everyone is welcome, no matter where they come from. And we want to show them how great it is to be on this journey together with us and together with God. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. God, this is a picture. I said it. As we look out the window with that king stud on the side of what you have called us to be, you supporting this mission, But God, I also know when you frame out a window, there's a cripple that goes right beside it. It holds up the header. You've asked us to be that, to stand beside the king's stud. You hold up the building, but we will participate in the mission. So God, help us do that. Firstly, empower us, because that's the only way this can be done. I can go around the world and tell them all about a great product, but the world can only care for 5 minutes. But you, when you prepare their hearts, when your Holy Spirit goes before me, when I speak out and you come with power, you have power to support this great establishment, this wonderful thing you call church, your body. So empower us with your Holy Spirit so that we can love each other, practice these one another's, and so we can go into the world and we can make disciples, both here and introducing people out there. God, secondly, help us to do this together. I know how easy it is to have surface relationships because as Canadians, we're taught to avoid conflict. Stay away from conflict. But as Christians and as people who believe strongly in something, we run into conflict all the time. So God, help us to not avoid the conflict. Help us to not stay in the conflict. But help us to work through the conflict so that our relationships can go stronger and deeper. And we can know how great you are because you give us the ability to forgive and to keep going. Even though there's issues, we can work through them because you lead us. And God, I pray that we would grow. We want to grow as individuals, as Christians, to have the strength. So if something crazy like a pandemic ever comes again and they shut down the church, we can say, no, we know who we are. We know who you called us to be. God, we will stay together for whatever it takes. Or even if something crazier comes, like persecution. God, we want to grow and be strong enough to survive those things. And even more than that, thrive in those circumstances so that others can know you. God, this is a family. Not because we were born into it, but because you adopted us. You said, we belong to the King of Kings. We have permission to come boldly into your throne room, into your place because of your grace. God, thank you for that. So empower us so together we can lead others to grow in this family too. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, I hope you understand a little bit more about who we are. Church, if you've heard this, I talk about it often, but I want us to understand it in that biblical way where you don't just know something in your head, but you know it, so it's in your actions. So to close, I want us to break in our small groups again, and I want us to talk about this, because it's one thing to hear about it, but it's another thing to open our mouths and share with it. So here's the question as we close. Share a story of when the church family felt like your family. It could be this church. It could be a completely different church. I'm totally okay with that. I think it'll bring wonderful discussion. So how can you help someone who's not here experience the family of God?